With the season opener set for Saturday, we started to think about what a successful season would look like. What things could we keep an eye on and measure as metrics of success? For example, a team metric for success would be to dominate at home. I mean, the Can is our house after all, and the Avalanche should expect nothing less than a winning record at home as a team. That's a good metric for success. This would also boost the likelihood of having home ice advantage if and when we make the playoffs, and for an organization, it would sell more tickets, generate more merchandise, sales would go up, and owners would be happy. This is a good metric. And to flesh this concept out fully for the 2016 season, we broke it down even further, not just by the team, but for the full roster, the whole and the individual as well. But that's not all. We've also pondered the success metrics for the coaches, the core, the depth, the players, the AHL players, and the management as well. But before we get into all that, we wrote a little song for our past coach, Patrick Waugh, a little farewell, a little hey, we love you, but we're moving on.
Yeah. Fam, well, I guess you had enough of all this hockey coaching stuff, and now you're off to that old golf course in the sky. But whatever, Patty, see ya. We got a new coach to coach and lead us. Tell me why you had to be so Patty. Why you had to be so Patty? 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 Why now the core is getting older, but the chip up on your shoulder and the decisions that Joe didn't let you make, the man's got you tripping mad, and we all know that Patty don't play that. Tell me why you had to be so Patty? Why? Ah, peace out, Patty. Why? No hard feelings. Hashtag next era.
And hashtag why'd you have to be so Patty Waugh. But we're moving on. Not just to talk about more team success metrics, but also coaches, players, core, prospects, depth, AHL, and management. First up, let's start with the team as a whole, and we'll keep it simple, because an abundance of metrics doesn't make for a more successful team, after all. Metric number one, make the playoffs. Not come close, not get cheated by the division that we're in, no excuses, make the damn playoffs. That's all you have to do. And bonus points for each series won in the playoffs. A lofty goal, you say? Nay, I say, if you want to make it to the moon, you have to shoot for the stars, and shooting for the stars means making the playoffs and going beyond. I think we can do it. I think we have the team, I think we have the talent, I think we're no longer young, we're actually experienced, we have speed, we have skill, and we have a new coach with a new system. Why not? Let's do it. To achieve that goal, we're going to have to do a couple of other things, and one of those is winning at home. We can't not win at home. That's how you become a dominant team, and that's one of the goals we talked about in the beginning. You have to win at home, you have to be dominant, because sooner or later it's going to pay off either in the playoffs or just in morale. If we're being honest, the Avs of the past have been a bit fragile at times, so having a good record at home wouldn't be stressful when you come home to play a game. It'd be something that gives you confidence and makes you play better. I think we should do it. And another metric that I think that we need to work on is one that everybody has griped about from the get-go. That is shots on goal. We typically have more of them against than we do for. So I say that no more than 30 shots against per game and no less than 34. At the very least, more often than not, we should have more shots on goal than the opposing team. If we can achieve this metric, we're going to look like a brand new team. Next up, coaches. Say what you mean what you say, and do what you promised. This is how you're going to earn the trust of the players and the respect of the owners. How do you do that? Metric number one for the coaching staff is to own this. Don't coach the past. This is Bednar's team to coach, and he shouldn't try to take over on anyone else's ideas or what they've done in the past. New systems, new attitudes, new experiences. Own this. It's your team. Metric number two is to develop a culture of winning and to hold players accountable. Matter of fact, to get players to hold themselves accountable. Sure, there's always going to be challenges and changes to contend with, but the expectation of winning every single time is what we need. Every time the players hit the ice, they should expect a win. And if this sounds really obvious to you, go back and listen to a lot of the interviews that happened in the locker room and the coaches after the games. Both players and coaches alike were settling for good intentions and lessons learned. That's not a winning culture, that's a rebuild culture. We're past that now. Metric number three, win the loyalty of your fans by playing exciting hockey. Live up to the promises of the fast-paced, fast-skating, attacking team that was promised at the very beginning when Bednar came on board. This next metric is both for players and for coaches. You have to close out the games in the third period. This has been an Achilles heel of the Avalanche for a decade or so. We play to the level of the competition, and then we lose that killer instinct in games where we're ahead. We lose by one goal. It's a heartbreaker. It's a season breaker. It's a don't get in the playoffs breaker. It sucks. And lastly, while we're on the coaches, bonus points for getting more out of the players than we thought that they had in them. If you're the kind of coach that can bring out the best in a player, that's what I want to see. And I think there's a couple of guys on the roster who are primed for this situation. Next up are metrics for the players as a whole, for the roster, for the team that actually takes the ice. To quote the Beatles, come together right now over me. In this case, me is Landy, and Landy needs to step up and lead this team because it's his team to lead and it's time to show up. So when it comes to the players as a whole, there are five metrics that can be wrapped up in 16 words. No excuses hockey, no heroes hockey, play for the team, stay healthy, no off-ice issues. That's it, that simple. Let's go over it again. No excuses hockey. This isn't saying we didn't get the bounces that we should have. The refs maybe made some bad calls. We just didn't have it in us tonight. None of that. That's all excuses. You didn't hear that from Forsberg back in the day. You heard, I should have tried harder. We didn't get it done. Those are accountable comments. We need no excuses hockey. No heroes hockey. This isn't where you grab the puck and try to go end to end because your team's down and you need a goal. You got to stick with the system. You got to trust the players on the ice with you. You have to play no heroes hockey. Play for the team. That's an easy one. Don't play for yourself. Play for the guy next to you. Don't play for your stats. Don't play for your goals. Don't play for the things that are going to get you trophies. Play for the team. Eric Johnson had a great comment in an interview he did with BSN recently where he said, I don't give a shit about personal points. I want wins. That's what I'm talking about. That's no excuses hockey. That's no heroes hockey. That's playing for the team. Next up is stay healthy. Now, this seems like something that would be out of the control of a player, but it's not always out of the control of the player. A player has an obligation to the team and to the people who pay his paycheck to stay healthy. He can do that by eating healthy, getting enough sleep, doing the work off the ice so that when you get hit on the ice or something happens on the ice, you either can absorb it and move on or you can recover quickly. You have to be able to be resilient in this league. We need all players striving to play 82 games. Stay healthy. The last metric was no off-ice issues. Now, of course, things are going to happen. You never know when you're going to have a crazy Russian girlfriend who's going to get pissed off at you and try to take you through court and run your name through the ringer. But there are very simple things that you can do as a person who makes a ton of money. Don't drive drunk. Don't run into Tim Hortons. Don't go out there and make a fool out of yourself in a bar with public people. You want to go get drunk? Fine, get drunk, but have a little bit of responsibility with it. Don't put yourself in a bad situation that then puts the team in a bad situation because it all matters at the end of the day. So far, we've talked about the team in general, the coaches, the players as a whole, and now we're going to talk about the core players. These are the guys who the Avalanche have committed to long-term big dollars so that they can get the job done. To me, the core looks like this. Matt Duchene, who is now wearing an A every so often. Gabriel Landeskog, our leader, wearing the C. Nathan MacKinnon, who is also wearing an A every so often. Tyson Barrie, Eric Johnson, and Semyon Varlamov. Now, while you might be able to make some arguments here soon in the next couple years for who is in the core and who's not, right now, I believe that is the core of our team. Grigo might make a run for that if he gets as good as I think he's going to get. Rantanen could just blow up the whole world and become super awesome too. But right now, on this day, as of this recording, this is the core. So let's look at each one of these core players individually and talk about some metrics for each one, starting with Matt Duchene. Dutchie is going to have to produce offensively. So long as he keeps putting points on the board, he'll have a job. Extra points for leadership, consistency, and improved defensive play. Gabriel Landeskog, team captain, Landy. He needs to set the tone every single game with physical hockey. He needs to check people and needs to chip in on scoring. If he can do those two things, he's going to set the tone for games and the rest of the players are going to follow suit. Secondly, Landy needs to mature a bit as a leader. He's been doing a fine job. He was the youngest captain in history for a long, long time. But now it's time to be that leader, to be the Messier kind of guy on the ice, to hold players accountable for their actions, be demanding, but be supportive. Nathan MacKinnon was recently given an A, an alternate captain title, and that means that they expect a lot from him. And one of the things that they expect from him, that everyone expects from him, is to score. He has speed, he has skill, he's shown that he has so much potential, but at the end of the day, you have to put it in the net. Mac needs to take strides towards the potential that we all think that he has, to take games over with his play. Lastly, Mac, like all of our core players, needs to forget about his age and just bring his maturity and his poise to the game. He can't do it, and I think we're going to see it more consistently here in the future. Tyson Barrie. First up, forget the offseason. While his friends were out playing in the World Cup of Hockey, he was working on a contract and it got a little bit bitter. Forget all that, it's time to move on. Become a better defenseman that can be counted on in clutch shutdown times. He's got the offense, now let's add a little defense to that and some of that poise we talked about with Mac and everybody else on this list. Continue to score. This is really why he's there. We do want him to play good defense, but at the end of the day, he's about getting that puck out of the zone and putting it in the net when he's on the other side of it. Lastly, and this applies to every single person on the core list, be a leader on the ice. With your play, with the way that you act when things go badly, with the way that you show up when we need a clutch player, be that leader on the ice. Eric Johnson, the Condor. EJ possesses this thing I like to call beast mode, and he needs to go find his beast mode and use it every single night. He needs to use his big size, he needs to get his feet moving and bring it all down the ice with a tough physical game. He has the ability to spread his wings and go from one end to the other and put the puck in the net, and we need to see it more than just a handful of times this year. And even if that puck doesn't go in the net every single time, good things happen when he spreads those big wings and starts to glide down the ice like that. Other players get opportunities because he's pushing the puck and he's bringing the size. Now, EJ is already a leader in the locker room, but I think he can bring that to the ice as well. And one of the best ways that I think that Eric Johnson can add leadership to this team is not just in the locker room, but by bringing consistent play every night. He'll set the bar for everybody else on the team, including his partner, Big Z. And for our last core player, Semyon Varlamov, he needs to be consistent. He needs to be consistent every single night, and with the new system in front of him, I think that might happen. He's also got an improved defense who's going to try to get that puck as far away from him as quick as they can, as often as they can, and that's going to help his numbers too. We already know that Varley can steal games. He needs to continue to do that, but when it comes time to be clutch, when we're trying to make the playoffs, and when we do make the playoffs, he needs to be better than he was the game before. If we make the playoffs this season, he needs to elevate his game so that when he shows up on NHL 2017, he's not an 89, he's a 95. That's the kind of goaltending we need from Varley. We'll see if he does it. Whether you're a core player, a prospect, or a depth player, it's important that everyone on the team know their role on the team. This is mostly on the management and the coaches, but once that's set in stone, it's on the role players to make the most of it. Role players are often what makes a great team even greater. It's what keeps a contender contending when a top player gets hurt. We need these guys, and we need them to do their jobs. Metric number one for our depth players is to be consistent and trustworthy in key situations. It's not always your top centerman out there winning the faceoff in our zone at the end of the game to shut it down. It's often one of those depth players who has a particular skill at winning faceoffs when it's important. Another job of a depth player is to build the foundation in a game for our top six players to get their work done. When they're not on the ice, you need to be on the ice, not being a liability. You need to be out there putting pressure on the other team, checking them, breaking them down with big hits, but not taking penalties and not letting goals in. Another role, and often overlooked for a depth player, is character. You need to bring character to your team by your hard-nosed, good work ethic kind of play on the ice. When you do something stupid, you need the young guys to see you not take that too hard, shrug that off, and come out the next shift even harder. This is why the majority of the depth guys that you'll find on a team are often vets who've been through this before. They can go out there and get it done because they know what has to be done. This is important stuff for a team. As a depth player, probably the most important thing that you can do is compete for one of the top spots on the team. This might seem counterintuitive, but it's your job to push guys in the top six and try to take their job. Just like goalies need to push each other, players need to push for the other guy's spot and to keep them honest with their efforts and with their skills. Try to take the spot off of your best buddy because that's what makes the team better. That's what makes them better and that's what makes you better. Competition isn't just for opposing teams. It has a big place in the development of our team. From core players to depth players to prospects. For a prospect, your number one job is to develop into a full-time NHL player. It's really that simple, but there's a couple of other things that you can do along the way that are important as well. One of those is to be coachable. Nobody is above having a coach. Nobody is as good as they could be if they're not being coached. There's a famous quote out there that says, if you're your own coach, you have an idiot for a coach. Be coachable, always be learning, and always be developing. That's what gets you from a prospect to an NHL player. Another job as a prospect is to cover for injured players and be ready to do it at any time. When a guy goes out with an injury, you need to step up and play above your level for as long as you can to help the team out. This is going to help you in the long run, but it's going to help the team in the short term. It's important. And just like depth players or anyone else on the team who happens to play the position that you play, you need to challenge for that position on the team. Bottom up, competition makes everyone better. Don't take a backseat to anyone if you can go out there and play in the NHL. Maybe you won't do it with this team in the end. Maybe you're going to move on, but it's your job to go out there and try to be the best player that you can be no matter what. The AHL is an organization. It's not a collection of players. And the AHL is also a sandbox of the NHL. This is where we try our new tools and our toys and find out what we can do with them. Looking at the AHL as that organization, here's a few things that I think are important for them and also metrics of success. Number one is to develop the players to their strengths and their abilities. I'm not saying that we shouldn't work on a guy who could improve his skating, or we shouldn't try to put a little bit of meat on a guy who's too skinny to play in the league, but we also need to recognize what these guys' superpowers are and try to develop those into something that can be used in the NHL. This is the job of that organization and those coaches in particular. Another important factor and something that each player should have as they come into the NHL is the Avalanche Hockey OS pre-installed into them. They need to be able to exist in our system the day that they get called up. As a side note, if you're not familiar with the Hockey OS theory, go back a couple podcasts and check it out. We lay it out pretty clearly. And last but not least, like every other coach in the organization, be demanding, but be supportive. Everything that we've talked about so far exists under the umbrella of management. It seems like management does most of their work in the offseason, but the truth is, their work is never done, and it extends long into the regular season. That role includes being demanding and supportive, of course, like the coaches and players. Think of it like 38 Special, if you're old enough to remember that. Hold on loosely, but don't let go. Let players make mistakes, but don't let them get away with it without having a coachable moment. In my eyes, management should always be looking towards the future by developing our young talent, both in the NHL and the AHL. The Avalanche have had plenty of rumblings in the past few years about not having depth and not developing their players in the minor leagues, but all signs point towards a change for the better already with many of the moves made in the offseason. I think Joe & Co., as I like to call the management, got the message, and they've done a lot of things to make that better. But they need to continue and make sure that this is a place that young players want to come because they know that they can develop and they can have a shot at the NHL. As management, it is your job to make tough decisions for the better of the team. Think Pierre Lacroix when he traded his son. This is the kind of thing that you have to be willing to do, and this includes trades, roster moves, and management accountability. If there is any weakness or shortcoming anywhere in the organization, players, coaches, staff, anywhere, it needs to be addressed. You can't turn a blind eye to things, and you can't play favorites with people who played hockey with you in the past. Another metric for management is to find a balance between the short game and the long game. We need players now if we think we have a chance at the cup, but we need to develop players and bring them along so that we can have 5 productive years after that. You can't always get away with that, but it's the management's job to figure out how to pull it off. If the draft strategies and the lack of big name trades give us any idea what's going to happen in the future, I would say that the Avs are leaning a little bit heavier towards the long game. But now that we've shaken things up a little bit with personnel, I think that we need to relook at that and find that balance. We'll see how that goes as well. And lastly, my last metric for management is to reward those who make the effort and who affect the kind of change that we seek in the organization. And this last metric goes out to everyone, the players, the team, the coaches, the core, the depth, the prospects, everyone. Just win. Find a way to win. That's the best metric and the only one that really counts. Find a way to win. And there you have it, our metrics of success for the Colorado Avalanche in the 2016-2017 season. Sure, all these will change as we move down the road, but I think it's going to be fun to look back and see if they've met any of these and what it's meant to the team. It's good fun. It's what being a fan's all about, right? If you like this podcast, tell your friends about it and then go subscribe. Go to coloradohockey.com and click on the button that says get it on iTunes, or go to iTunes and search for Colorado Hockey. Either way, subscribe. It'll show up ready for you to listen to before you even know it. This and every other podcast that we do is brought to you by AvsFam, absfam.com. Really awesome hockey shirts for really awesome people. Go check them out. Dutchie Landy, Mac Bradley Picks, and a brand new one called The Names shirt. We think you're going to love it. Thanks for being awesome. Stay awesome.